Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
And I'm joined by Ruth Bonapace, who is out with her brand new novel, her debut novel. It's called The Bulgarian Training Manual. It is available everywhere. And Ruth, I have to tell you, as I read your book, I kept having in mind, I know they weren't Bulgarian, but Hans and Franz from the Saturday Night Live of the late 80s or so, when I was watching Saturday Night Live back then. And so can you set this up for us? Because it's a strange title. It sounds like a self-help book, but it's really a parody of the self-help books in the exercise industry.
That's right. That's right. And other things in life. So, where can I start? I started with, it's the Bulgarian training manual, because some years ago when I was at the gym and I didn't know what I was doing, and one of the guys there gave me this Bulgarian manual, like actually photocopied pages from it, and said, look at this, like, you know, and it's like been copied, and this is from the Bulgarian powerlifting coaches. And here I am, you know, I'm like a 30-something-year-old mother. So I'm reading this about the exercises, and I'm like, this is impossible. This is insane. How could I possibly do this? But I thought it was so funny, and the method in which it was told to me. So I always, you know, kept that in mind. I thought, someday I'm going to write something about this. So...
Well,
so that's why it was. It could have been Romanian. It could have been anywhere. It could have been anywhere, but Bulgarian for that reason.
Well, and the whole industry itself is so full of areas for comedy, and a lot of times it's on television, you know, in sketch comedy. But when you put it in writing, how difficult is it to capture that industry on the written page? Because it has to be, I think, more funny than television or than a visual medium when you try to put it in words.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the funny part wasn't that hard, because it's like I just naturally think of things, I guess, in kind of ironic terms, but it was the voice, too. I needed to have not just me sitting there as me talking about it, because that I felt would be boring. I needed to have somebody who is full of bewilderment, so I chose like an inner city, well, not inner city, but a city girl, and that's why it's Jersey City, like a Jersey Shore kind of attitude. So she goes in and goes to the gym, and these things start happening. And then this way there can be pushback. It's like, hey, I don't believe that. You're not putting one over on me. And it's like, oh my God, could this possibly work? And, you know, that kind of attention there. But also then it's very easy to go from there and make it funny. But there's so much in the book. Some of it's fantastical, but some of it's very, very grounded in reality and funny anyway, especially in the world of supplements.
Well, and I thought it was so interesting that Tina, the main character, she has this voice, and I imagine her voice to be something like Janice on Friends, just that accent, kind of a New York, New Jersey attitude. And right. But when she's doing this, the book is written as, it seemed to me, like a collection of essays, because the chapters are all titled. And so what made you decide to put the book in that particular format? Because I thought it worked very, very well.
Well, somehow I would like, there would be like some momentum, and then there would be, it's like episodic, and then it would kind of stop, and then something else would happen. And I also wanted to mix different kinds of written media. Like I have some, one scene that's like a pretend script of the Rachel Ray Show, because it's about food and marketing and advertising. And then another one is like a mock white paper with, you know, kind of a pseudo-intellectual studies, because you have studies upon studies upon studies, especially in the health industry. And when I say health, I don't mean medicine. I'm talking about sports and diet and fitness. And and this way I could do that. I wouldn't have to interrupt if it was just one long narrative. You could jump around, or you could even have a little chapter that's two paragraphs, and maybe it's like a nightmare somebody had, and they woke up and goes, what was that? You know, so but they're all interconnected. Like, I wouldn't suggest reading them out of order, because it would get confusing, because they do have a certain order to them.
So when you sat down, you had your MFA. You've written in the past. You had a career as a journalist, and this obviously isn't the first thing you've written. But what was the biggest jump that when you made it to fiction writing from being a journalist?
Well, I remember going to my first fiction workshop, and I had been a journalist for a long time, and there's a bunch of people sitting around, and actually it was the workshop leader at the time was Rick Moody. His book, The Ice Storm, was just at the cusp of coming out, and before he had really made it big with that. And so I remember thinking, being so intimidated, it's like, I can't just make things up, because I could write essays, I could write, you know, stories based on things that have happened. And then I started giving it a try, and I wrote a lot of short stories that are never published. So I kind of, and then I went back to my MFA because I thought I really need to, I want to expand that. And so long story short, I go to the MFA, and here, there too, I'm thinking, like, I can't write a book. I can write 10 pages, but can I write 300 pages? So... So it just took a lot of practice. It took years to write this book. It wasn't, you know, like sometimes you have people knock out a book like three times a year, but this really, it just evolved over a long period of time. I rewrote it a bunch of times and, you know, got it to where it is now.
When you're writing characters in the book, with the journalist background that you have of writing nonfiction, when you write the fiction, do you find yourself fighting in your own mind about what the character should do? Because now that I wouldn't do that, but no, this isn't me. This is a different character.
Well, I have to remember to differentiate them. And so I have, once I get a clear picture in my head of who this person is and what they're about, it's actually hard for me to change that. Like, I can't just make this one character called Big Steve. Well, I can't turn him into somebody else because, to me, he's real, you know, so, and I can run with that. And as far as the journalism part, I did a lot of research, and there's some information in here even about the bodybuilders from the early 1900s and the 1890s. And I thought, well, how am I going to put that in? I mean, that's like serious history, but I thought, well, I've got to find some comical way. So maybe they're opening up a scrapbook and it's like, oh, look at that. And so finally, that's actually what I did. And then I did a research into supplements, and I discovered, you know, just things like one of the supplements I mentioned was horny goat weed. And I'm like, and I read it on the internet, I was like, oh my God, this is a thing? I've got to put it in the book, you know? So, and because it just struck me as really funny. So when you look at the world through that lens of everything's crazy out there, and this is, and just use it, I guess, you know, that's what I did.
Did you workshop any part of this book?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like a lot of chapters as I went along, because in my MFA program, I did a lot of work on it. And then there were writers, editors that I knew from that program, the faculty who read it, like Meg Wolitzer, who's, it was amazing to get her to read it, but she actually was connected with the university program, and she'd heard me read some chapters and agreed to read the whole book. Same thing with Helen Simonson, Mark Lehner. Mark Lehner wasn't connected to the school, but Mark Lehner, he writes a lot of off-the-wall stuff, and I learned a lot from him, too. Like, you know, don't hold back, just go for it. If you think it works and you want to write it, so, because his books are very zany and everything, and they cross a lot of experimental boundaries. So he read it and gave me feedback. And so I think you can't just sit down and write and say, okay, it's done, you know, without actually having people in the real world who know what they're talking about and not just like your best friend, you know, give you feedback.
One of the dedications in the book is to Sister Rose Matthew, and you wrote a little blurb there about why she was important to you. It sounds like a great story. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, Sister, we used to call her Rosie, and she was an elderly nun, kind of very round-faced, and, you know, the old habit, well, not the complete habit, the modified one, and she was the orchestra teacher, and I played the trumpet, and I started playing the trumpet when I was in fifth grade in public school, and in high school I went to a Catholic school, and they had this kind of very smallish kind of orchestra, and I was, like, the only person who knew how to play the trumpet, and so I was like, you know, she kind of counted on me as like their star, so I can get away with things. And sitting in the back, like, we really did throw spitballs, like, you know, all kinds of pranks. And but at the same time, she was so endearing, like, she, you know, so I always kept in touch with her. And years later, I had found out she was ill, and I went to see her in the hospital before she passed away, because, as I said, she was quite a bit older, and just very kind of kind and loving, but shooting, like, looks, and it's like, stop that, you know, with her eyes as the baton's going, you know, it was just a good time, and when I went back for a reunion a few years ago, she was no longer there, of course, but one of the English teachers was there, and she said, I heard you were writing a book, and, you know, I just thought it was so nice that, you know, so I thought I have to put something in there.
All right, the book is The Bulgarian Trading Manual. The writer is Ruth Bonapache. The book's available everywhere. Ruth, just a fantastically funny book, and I thank you for joining me to talk about it.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcasts. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.